This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks so much.
All right, I'm going to jump in, if that's okay with everyone else.
No.
How hard was it adjusting right away to the big performance capture and sort of interacting with Andy and...
I don't think it took much time at all. Actually, one of my reasons for doing this movie is to work with Andy. I didn't know Andy was doing it, but to work with all the Weta people and Andrew Lesney. I have watched every single minute of the extra features on all of the Lord of the Rings DVDs and King Kong DVDs. So I had just from watching that, I kind of had an understanding of how it worked. And I thought it would be a new and interesting acting experience, you know, working opposite someone playing a chimpanzee. And Andy signed on. He was signed on like a week or two before we started shooting. And to my great, you know, satisfaction, he signed on. And he was so good at it. You know, the imagination just kind of takes over, just like, you know, you meet someone and the next day they're playing your mother, and you kind of roll with it if the scene is working. You know, Andy was so good with the chimp behavior that it was actually pretty easy to just fall into that kind of relationship. And I guess I'd also, you know, I watched it probably a year ago, but I loved, when I saw it, I loved, the movie Coco the Gorilla, directed by,
Barbet.
Yeah. And that was actually shot in my hometown in Palo Alto. So I remember, I guess, something of the way that woman dealt with her gorilla kind of came back to me, and so I kind of started dealing with him in that way.
One of the things is it makes this, you have to actually shoot all the scenes 3 times, and I'm sure you're used to shooting the same take over and over again, but it kind of does add 3 times as much work, everything, where it's twice as much work to have to shoot the scenes with and without Andy. I mean, how does that work as far as when you have Andy there, you can actually interact with him, but you don't have him there? You have to
kind of
remember what you did and try to do the same thing, or how does that work exactly?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can rebel against it, or you can, you know, I kind of have that discussion in my head, like, oh, I can just complain about this process, or I can just go with it and understand that it's, you know, what's necessary to make this kind of movie. And, when Andy's there, it's great. It's akin to a, you know, regular acting experience. He's a performer, and I roll with it. And then, you know, when he's not there, I guess I justify it. You know, you can think, oh, it's the death of acting, but you know, there are plenty of stage plays where you talk to no one, or you're using your imagination in a similar way, and you have to create an imaginary world in front of you and react to it if it's there. So, not necessarily the death of acting as we know it, I tell myself. And you know, it's just physical memory and emotional memory, and you know, I try and. And, you know, as an actor, you know, the process is basically you have your motivation as a character, and then you're reacting to the other characters, and that both of those things kind of combine, and that's how a scene kind of arises. And so I try and have, when I'm acting with no one, I have that motivation still, but I guess I just try and conjure him in my imagination so that I can still kind of react off him as he was behaving.
Can you talk about the emotional arc of your character in the movie?
Yeah, it's... well, this movie... this rendition of the Planet of the Apes series is different in many ways than the other ones, but one of the differences is that the others seem to be much more about commentaries on class relations, inter-species relations, race relations, all of these things. Whereas ours is a prequel, and it's much more of a Frankenstein story where a scientist is maybe, in our case, not so moved by hubris, but in some ways he is. But he starts messing with nature, and he gets out of hand. And so I guess, you know, my character just goes from a pure science-oriented man who has few connections in life. It's actually a pretty dismal existence. Who doesn't have much of a relationship with his father. And his father has Alzheimer's, so he then starts taking care of him. And so that, you know, he starts at the end of his father's life, you know, towards the end of his father's life, he starts building this relationship with his father that he never had. And then chimp is thrust on him, and so then he starts having a almost like a father-son relationship that, you know, he never had in his life. And so he goes from a very isolated, scientific, cold kind of personality to a much more humane and caring person.
Do you feel like the Alzheimer's issue really sort of helps ground your character in this fantasy movie in sort of a reality that's important to the film working?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the choice that they made, you know? Like, I actually haven't seen all of the Apes movies. I saw the first one a long time ago, and then I watched it again, and I watched a documentary about the making of all of them. And I guess back in the day, you know, they spent a ton of money for, you know, at that time, what was a ton of money on makeup and effects. Now, I assume most, you know, the original Apes movie has kind of a cult appeal, but you look at the mask and you say, well, you know, I can't believe they're having serious philosophical conversations and they're wearing those crazy masks. But it's interesting on that level. But reality or the idea of apes talking has, you know, move forward. We have a different concept of that now, of what is real. And so not only have the way that they depicted apes changed and become much more realistic, but the storyline, you know, they've tried to ground it in a more realistic world and something where it's at least conceivable that this, you know, could happen.
Does that help you as an actor to sort of play this part?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the crazy thing for me is, you know, Kim Stanley, who played Stella, Kim Hunter, who played Stella in Streetcar, was one of the apes in the original movies, and Malcolm McDowell, and Sal Mineo was even one, and I think the third one. And they all talked about how surprising it was that they could take that seriously. So I probably could, you know, I probably could do it if people were still in masks, but I guess playing a scientist who's somewhat grounded in reality helps. It's just, you know, it's just the type of movie. I mean, it would just be a different kind of movie if we went the other way, and I, as an actor, would find myself in, you know, find my way into that other movie. It's not that I couldn't do that. It's just a different movie. You know what I mean?
You mentioned
guys. I'm sorry, they need him on set.
So quick. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Do I do one more question?
Yeah, one more. I'm sure Frankenstein is you know, Dr. Frankenstein's like a tragic character. Did
yeah.
you say that your character has that going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess Yeah, I guess he screws a lot of things up. So. Not, I mean, not on purpose, but and on for all, you know, he does everything for the right reasons, but yeah, gets out
so
of hand.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can't quite remember his motivation.
Well, actually, I guess
eternal life.
Yeah, he was playing God.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, so he was a little more.
But Will is trying to help his father. That's sort of his motivation. Is that his father?
Yeah.
He was trying to beat death in a way, I guess.
In a way, I mean, it's not, maybe you wouldn't say it's justified, but, you know, most people would do whatever they could for their, you know, ailing family members, so it's at least understandable.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much
for coming out. Sorry, you guys aren't here for the most exciting scene, but...
We saw stuff yesterday, too, though.
Oh.
We have...